besides low interest rates and a bunch of other factors, one of the big reasons, too, is we've had, since the Great Recession, out-of-town investors swooping in and buying up homes in huge quantities, especially from West Coast markets, even foreign markets, because if you look at the markets in Los Angeles, the house you can buy here, obviously, for the same amount of money, much, much, much bigger. And investors, institutional investors, get in the game, throw down tons of money and scoop up all the homes and drive the prices up. Sometimes, though, the investors get upside down, and that's bad because it affects you, affects your neighborhood, and the values in your house there. And that's why the port is going to spend something like $14.5 million to buy about 200 homes from a Los Angeles group that's in foreclosure and receivership. Laura Brunner is the president and CEO of the Port of Greater Cincinnati Development Authority, joining the show this morning. Madam CEO and president, how's everything?
Everything's great here, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. So let's talk about this. This is, how often do you guys do this? This is probably the biggest one you've had, though, right? And how common is it for the Port to buy homes up?
Oh, we're generally buying vacant homes, and that are often blighted and in foreclosure, and we're making improvements to them and selling them back into the private market for home ownership one by one. This is the first time we've bought a portfolio of properties, and certainly the first time that we've bought properties that have renters in them.
Okay, so what's the idea? Someone may hear this and go, well, here's you know, an arm of the government, quasi-governmental, coming in and buying property up, driving the cost up, or what have you. Why get involved at all in this?
What we are doing is saving renters in Cincinnati from evictions and giving them the opportunity to buy their home. Perfect scenario for us is that all of these renters one day are able to own these homes and begin to build equity. We believe that out-of-town investors buying large numbers of single-family homes throughout Hamilton County is bad for everybody.
Yeah, I get that. So this is almost like a what I want to say, the model is somewhat like Habitat for Humanity, in that there's a stake. It's not, you're not just giving them the house. They're getting a loan. They're acquiring the property from you, and now we've got individuals owning homes instead of large companies.
Yes, and especially out-of-town large companies that are interested just in the bottom line and not investing back in the properties and not necessarily being attentive to the renters when they have maintenance problems.
Right. But it's not necessarily a bad thing, though, too. I mean, yeah, you know, having a landlord that's out of state and that's non-responsive is difficult, and we'll get into more of that in a second. But obviously, if there's a, you know, I think in Detroit or a place like that where there's so much vacant property, you're happy if somebody comes in and buys it. But that's not the case here in Cincinnati. Why?
Well, our market is strong. We don't have enough housing really at any income level. You know, there's been a lot of conversation in the last couple of years about affordable housing. Many of these renters are probably qualified to buy homes but can't find them in the right price range. What these investors have done is suppressed the supply of homes that people can buy and therefore forcing them to rent. And with a market like ours that has a scarcity of real estate, they can drive the rents up.
Yeah, and typically how it works, too, for foreclosed properties, blighted properties, is they'll have an auction, a sheriff's auction, right? And I've seen those in action. I've been to those before because we own some property, and it's interesting. And those you talk to who are in the game will go, wow, we, for a while, especially after 2008, we had a lot of out-of-state international investors, investment groups, and they will come in literally and buy up neighborhoods, so to speak, and for ridiculous amounts of money, too. It wasn't even, you know, there really wasn't even a bidding war because they would bid so much higher than anyone else that you look at and go, wow, if they want to pay that much for this, okay, good luck with it. And you wondered if it wasn't going to eventually cause problems. And, well, here you go.
Yes, and in this case, we are buying the property. They didn't go to sheriff's auction. There's a receiver that's working for the creditors as this whole portfolio is in foreclosure.
Yeah, and so now you have 200 houses that aren't being maintained, probably behind on their taxes, I'd imagine, things like that.
No, they've been they've paid their taxes.
Okay.
So that hasn't been a problem. But what they've done is attracted a lot of code violations over the years. The city of Cincinnati has sued this particular owner in the past because of the condition of the properties, and that's one of the challenges when you have out of town owners. There's no shame, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's easy to not worry about the fact that your portfolio isn't in good shape.
Right, and I mean, they accrue fines and everything else, but that's really nothing to them because there's no, you know, how, what do? Do you take the property away from them? And you could pile fines up till doomsday, and there's they just look at it and shrug it off. They're not here.
Right. There's a lot of profit to be made in owning a rental property portfolio like this.
Right, right.
And that's why we have so much competition in this process.
Right. Laura Brunner is here. Laura is the president and CEO of the Port of Greater Cincinnati, just the Port as we call it. And the Port's buying almost 200 homes at $14.5 million at market rate from a LA investment company who got here years ago. And now they're upside down. They're in receivership, filed bankruptcy, can't take care of the property or behind a lot of things. And they're going to buy it and then turn around and sell it to individuals, which is what we want to do. Now, you know, with the market being at play here too, Laura, how are people going to be qualified to do this? Because these are typically renters. These are lower-income neighborhoods, lower-income homes. There may be a credit risk involved there and a higher default rate if that's the case. How do you work around that?
We will be patient, and that's one of the reasons why having this quasi-governmental public organization be the buyer. We're willing to be patient and allow them to continue to rent while we work with a number of nonprofits and affordable housing experts to work with them on an individual basis to put them on a path toward ownership.
All right. So what happens if they default in ownership? I mean, is it harder for them to default than typically I would if I were working with a bank?
No. We certainly don't want to set anybody up for default. What we want is to make sure that when they're ready to buy the home, that they're financially secure enough to do that.
Yeah, kind of walk them through it, and then they have and also skin in the game. That's very important. We saw that in 08, right, where people were upside down in houses, and they just would trash the thing because they don't have any money in it. That's important.
Right, no stake in the game. And we do know for a fact that a number of these renters have already been qualified for home ownership but couldn't find a home that they could afford.
Right.
And one of the reasons for that is having all these institutional owners have such a large inventory in these neighborhoods. So we're taking some people that are renting that are already qualified for home ownership and converting and giving them the opportunity for that.
This is the first time you've dipped your toe in the you know, 200 house. That's a lot of property at once. And you said typically, Laura Brunner, that it's a house or two at a time. What's your success rate been with that? How's that looking? And obviously, it's kind of a loaded question because probably pretty good if you're able to then go, okay, we're going to try 200 this time.
Yes, we've been producing about 30 homes a year at a wide range of prices for the last 9 years or so. So we've got a success rate. And then in addition to the homes that we renovate to sell, we also have vacant properties that we've been able to acquire and sell in a rougher condition to people that can then afford to fix them up themselves. So we've got a wide range of properties that we've been selling for the last 9 years. The land bank owns nearly 1,000 properties throughout the county.
Wow, that's a lot. And what's the potential for acquiring more properties and doing this?
We've used our non-tax revenue to make this acquisition, to be able to issue the bonds for it. So we're tapped out for a major investment like this again until we repay this debt or identify other partners that work with us.
Okay, I got you. So now it's like, hey, we've maxed all our capital. All the chips are in the middle of the table. We're going to buy 200 houses in one fell swoop. It's great. Now we got to get those houses, you know, rented and sold. And primarily, where does the money go? Do they pay you the rent? How's that work?
Yes, they'll pay us the rent. We'll use the rental income that we get to make improvements in the properties as we sell them, and then also to be able to pay off the purchase price.
Right.
So the goal is to, you know, recycle this.
Yeah.
Once, let's say 4 years from now, we've sold these 200 homes, then we would have the capacity to borrow money to make another investment, hopefully from another institutional investor.
Do you make a little profit off this and then reinvest all those profits into buying the next house?
We're not anticipating, you know, making profits. We're anticipating that we're able to afford the portfolio with the rental income that we have. There's no anticipation of profit for us.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You know, the pool of houses out there, seemingly it's really, really tight right now. And, you know, the competition for houses, especially for the working class houses, you know, people who are middle income and the like, is tremendous right now. It's hard enough getting a house if you're outside that. I can't imagine trying to do that underneath it. So trying to get folks in their own homes is a great thing. And you know, we've seen things like Habitat for Humanity succeed. This is along the same lines, which I think is a pretty good model.
Yes, Habitat for Humanity relies on us 100% for their properties. What we sell them, vacant land and unfinished properties for improvements. So we've got a great partnership with them. And you're right, that stake in the, having a stake in the game makes a big difference there.
Any idea what the wait list is like for people who are interested in properties? Because like, I'd imagine you'd probably sell those properties pretty quickly, right, with the demand as high as it is?
Well, I think so. I mean, I'm hoping that these renters all want to buy their homes. In this portfolio, there are 20 empty properties, so obviously we'll be able to put 20 new properties, new homes, on the market relatively soon. So I think, that, as you said, there'll be a great demand for those.
How bad a shape are they in to the point where how much work do they need, typically?
They're actually, I would say our plans are to invest from $5,000 to $40,000, kind of across that range. We'll spend next year doing a detailed analysis and developing a plan. Some of them might need just paint and carpet. Others need new roof. I expect there'll be a lot of HVAC systems, plumbing systems that need repair.
Right. What's the medium sale price, or what's the medium value of the house?
I would say $125,000-ish.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, 40 is, you know, a third of the cost. So, yeah, that's pretty significant remodeling. I mean, some are going to be in better shape than others. I get that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Laura Brunner is the CEO, President and CEO of The Port, and that's the Port of Greater Cincinnati Development Authority, a plan here to buy some 200 houses from a L.A. investment group that went under. And, yeah, they go under. What happened? So if you didn't step in, what happened to the properties? They could just go back on the market at a regular rate?
Well, there were 13 other bidders for this portfolio. So we had a stiff competition. They were all private sector. Their plans, all the other investors bought them to keep them rental properties. So we had a strong motivation to not only save those renters from evictions and steep rental increases, but more importantly, to turn them back into homeownership. So we really felt an imperative to step in here. We moved very quickly, and we're willing to accept the risk, because if we didn't, it's very clear that there would have been a significant number of evictions, and new renters would be paying significantly higher rent.
Yeah, you know, if I turn and I buy something like that, and I put, you know, as you said, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in, I'm going to have to raise the rent to get my money back. That makes sense, and it's unfortunately going to force those folks out.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in this case, it's a quasi governmental agency that steps in and does this. Laura Brunner over at The Port, thanks again for the time. What's the timeline for getting the property, doing all this? You bought it now. When do you expect to start turning? Is that going right now?
We will close on our acquisition by Christmas, mm-hmm. and start working with our nonprofit partners later this year and into January. We'll start our process of reaching out to every individual renter to put them on a path toward homeownership in the first quarter of next year.
All right, Laura, thanks again for the time. All the best. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Yep, thank you, Scott, for the time, and happy holidays to you.